Thank you, Tim. Well, good morning, and now we can begin.
Thank you very much. Well, wait.
Now you can begin. Okay. All right. Well, good morning, and let me tell you a little bit about what we've got going on here this morning. So last week, I had the opportunity to give a presentation at a technology conference, actually regionally here for companies in the area, and talked to Tim and Nate about potentially doing this here for family study, because I think it's important for the church as well, and I think as we get into it, you'll understand why. So I'll walk through the same presentation. I'm going to deliver it in a little bit different fashion than what I did, different audience. So it was a business community, technical group, and in this case, of course, for the church. And I think, again, I think you'll see why it's important for us as the church, too. When I put the presentation together, I set out with two goals, really. One, I wanted to deliver something pretty unique. There's a lot of talk nowadays with respect to artificial intelligence. You're probably seeing it in the news or online feeds all the time. I know I am. So I wanted to kind of cut through that noise and, again, deliver something unique. And I also wanted to deliver something that was fundamentally helpful. So a lot of times, folks will deliver a presentation, and it can be a scare presentation, or, oh, the world's falling, and then you leave with nothing really to do. And in this case, I wanted to leave folks with something that we can fundamentally, that will be helpful to folks. So with that, I want to start with a story. And this is a story about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson. And as you can imagine, typically on a case, and in this case, they have been traveling on a particular case, and they come to rest for the evening. So imagine beautiful starry night. They've set up camp. They've had a good meal, and they've gone to bed. And for some reason, in the middle of the night, Holmes wakes up like 3 o'clock in the morning and nudges Watson, and he's like, so look up at the sky. What do you see? And Watson says, well, I see a sky full of stars. Holmes says, well, what does that mean to you? He says, well, let me think. Astronomically, I see that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of stars. It's like, astrologically, I see that Saturn is in Leo. Theologically, I see that God is great and we are small. Horologically, it looks like it's about 3 a.m. And meteorologically, clear night, looks like it's going to be a good day tomorrow. It's like, why? What do you see? He says, Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent. So why do I tell that story? So for AI, this fits perfectly to me to the general discussion going on with artificial intelligence right now. Very deep technology, all kinds of discussion, but I think the most obvious thing, the most important thing to be talked about is often missed. And that's why the story is funny, and I think that's why it best applies to the situation. So I think it's always interesting as well to talk about what are the experts saying, kind of get a pulse of the community that's deep into this space. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of that so you can see what folks are saying. Now, I don't expect you to read all of the detail on this, but some of you have probably heard of the World Economic Forum. So the elite of the world meet every so often in Switzerland, and they talk about what are the most pressing concerns and areas of interest on a global scale for humankind. And if you notice, up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see artificial intelligence and robots. Now, the scale that you're looking at is emerging technologies, benefits versus negative consequences. So these are all technologies that are emerging. They are real. They are coming on the scene. And on the horizontal axis are benefits. So the further to the right, the more likely that the technology is believed to be a benefit for humanity. The vertical axis is negative consequences. So the higher on the scale, the more likely it's believed to be something that will have negative consequences for humanity. Artificial intelligence understood to be highest potential and most dangerous. But to give you an idea, these are the other things up here: biotechnologies, presence of link sensors throughout all of life, energy capture and storage, space technologies, virtual and augmented realities. So across all those technologies, this gives you an idea of what the elite, at least, are thinking about with respect to AI. Let me give you a couple of quotes. So this is Eliezer Yudkowsky. He's with the Machine Intelligence Research Institute. And there are a number of institutes and research entities that are looking into different aspects of artificial intelligence. And as you can see here, with the possible exception of nanotechnology, nothing in the whole catalog of disasters that is comparable to AGI. That's artificial general intelligence, and I'll talk about that. But okay, so kind of setting the stage here. Catalog of all disasters known. Nothing quite like this, potentially. And he goes on, if AI wouldn't hate you, it wouldn't hate you, but you're made of atoms it may have other uses for. So, important safety tip when using artificial intelligence. Probably most of you have heard of Stephen Hawking, University of Cambridge, probably the most well-known physicist that there is. And he mentions the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Kind of sounds important. Let's go on. Hans Moravec from Carnegie Mellon. By performing better and cheaper, robots will displace humans from essential roles. They could displace us from existence. Okay, I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern now. Kind of read between the lines there, but maybe some general themes. Stuart Armstrong from Oxford University. If AI possessed any one of these skills, social abilities, technological development, economic ability, at a superhuman level, quite likely that it would quickly come to dominate our world. Again, kind of a theme there that we're seeing. You guys are all familiar with Elon Musk, Tesla CEO, SpaceX CEO. Fewer jobs, a robot cannot be better. These are not things I wish to happen. I just think these are things that probably are going to happen. This is Sam Altman, co-chairman of OpenAI, which is another group created this with Elon Musk together. And they're trying to stay in front of the race to make sure that what is developed is friendly AI, to stay far enough ahead of it. He says, development of superhuman machine intelligence is probably the greatest threat to the continued existence of humanity. So, I'm just giving you a sense so far of what the thought leaders are thinking at this point in time. You can disagree with them. You can say that's nonsense, whatever. This is where they're at. Now, let me give you some flip side, because we'll see the whole spectrum. There's good and bad. Satya Nadella, who is the CEO of Microsoft, a little different spin on it here. Many things that AI will never be able to do. Real intelligence will be scarce. Real empathy will be scarce. Real common sense will be scarce. So we can have new jobs that are actually predicated on those attributes. So he's making the point that, yeah, AI is going to do certain things, but there are certain things it will never be able to do, as he lists here. And those are going to be opportunities for humans to thrive in those areas. So think about where the jobs may be going, hone your skills in those directions, and be of benefit in those areas. Ray Kurzweil, probably the most optimistic when it comes to AI of all of the thought leaders that I've ever read, and he's got a number of books out. And he talks about singularity. What all that singularity means is a point in time. It's believed by some that technology growth will take off at a certain rate, that it will come to a point where it will fundamentally change humanity. Okay? And it's at that tipping point that it, where it, that's what they talk about from a singularity standpoint. What's that?
You said it will come to a point where it will change.
It will change humanity and human civilization. It'll fundamentally change things. So he talks about singularity will jumpstart a new era in mankind's history in which most of our problems, such as hunger, disease, even mortality, will be solved. So you see here, salvific, yeah. Right? Yeah. Believed, anyway. Here, again, so now you've got the entire spectrum of thought leaders, every position you could take, from end of all things that we know to totally salvific, right? And they've all got the same information available to them, and they're coming across the entire spectrum. Noreen Hertzfeld from St. John's University is part of my research. I picked up her book. This got the closest to a Christian perspective on the topic that I found. And she really asked the question of what exactly are we going to image into our creation? So you have the notion of God imaging into humanity, and we take on the Imago Dei. Now what are humans going to image into this creation? And you'll see, we are going to image something. It's just a question of what are we going to image. So here, if AI can help us see the world in a different way, as a place of inexhaustible relationship, then it will serve us well. So, trying to take a balanced approach, and you guys have heard me talk about technology just generally in the past. Technology is a tool. That's it. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to get overly hyped about either. It's not the savior of the world, but at the same time, it's a tool that humans use. And she's making the point, AI, if handled correctly as a tool, can be helpful. Is it going to make us more human? And you're going to see, as I go, this connection to humanity and what it means to be human. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a few terms, but I am not going to go deep. This is not a technology-rich or deep discussion, but I've got to give you just a few to give a sense of the landscape. I do have a couple things along the way. This on the right, and I'll read it to you if you can't see in the back. This is something I occasionally ask Siri on my phone. So Siri, the voice assistant, can be thought of as a form of artificial intelligence, you'll see. And I just asked her, are you artificial intelligence? And her reply was, I'm not sure that matters. Now, what's interesting about that response? Didn't answer it directly, did she? She didn't give a cold, rational response. She gave a philosophical response.
Okay? A lame one.
A lame one. But it did respond. And again, there was something behind that drove that response. Okay. As I walk down through some of the terms. So, remember, we started with the thought leaders across the entire spectrum of whether or not this is good or bad. Now, layer on top of that, when we start thinking about intelligence, the theory of intelligence, there's no generally accepted theory of intelligence in how we computationally achieve it. So now you got the whole spectrum of beliefs, and you've got across all of the thought leaders, they don't understand intelligence in a way that's consistent across the board. Okay? So here's another layer. So I'm going to give you some terms, but every term that I throw up, somebody else could say, nope, that's not right. That's not what that means. So you'll see kind of another layer here to work through and to navigate. And remember, as Christians, we have to navigate this stuff. We have to be in a position to give answers. We can't just blow it off and go isolate ourselves someplace. We have an opportunity to actually be thought leaders in this space. Okay, so let's try to walk through some things. Intelligence, the capacity to acquire and apply knowledge. Okay, seems pretty straightforward. But what exactly is knowledge? Okay, well, how about this? Knowledge is understanding gained through study. Say, okay, knowledge, understanding, I think I get it, but what's understanding? Well, understanding is the capacity to acquire and apply knowledge. Now I just wrap back words. Is there a different way to understanding? Well, how about the faculty by which one understands, which is intelligence? Now I just looped all the way around, and as I'm trying to figure this out, I'm using intellect, I'm trying to understand, and I'm trying to use knowledge to understand those same things.
Yeah.
Yes, Nate.
Seems to me the missing component in this is the concept of personhood or personality.
Yep, and that's fair to say. When we compare natural intelligence and artificial intelligence, that's an aspect that I'll highlight, but that some will not agree with.
Okay.
Not everybody agrees that intelligence is directly applied to personhood. Right, there's nothing here that talks about anything beyond the material, right? And remember, we don't fully understand scientifically how the human mind actually works. We have theories and all of that. And we can pull every one of these terms, intelligence, understanding, knowledge, and put it in, just like we talked about with the term fact, Tim, in your study the other day. Don't give me any examples of these things. Actually define that for us. Put that under the microscope. What is that? And you could bend somebody's head in all kinds of different directions if you tried to do that. Nate?
I just think what this gets at is the fact that apart from Christ, apart from God as Father created, man with an evolutionary foundation was incapable of defining personhood. That's
right.
What we don't understand.
Right.
That's what we're powerless to explain from a purely scientific, quote-unquote, perspective.
That's right.
What is a person? We don't know.
Right. You don't have the tools. You don't have the standard. You don't have the framework.
Right.
And that's why all kinds of confusion ensues, right?
That's right.
So that's why that's another reason why it's important for us to understand this. Okay. So, again, layering in layers of ambiguity and confusion and all.
I wrote agnostic.
Yep, without knowledge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now let's connect artificial intelligence. So we just talked about intelligence by itself or natural intelligence. Artificial intelligence is just simulated intelligence exhibited by machines. Okay, that's all it is. Now, some will disagree on down the road and say, well, we think it's going to become more than just simulated. We think it will be actual.
What's that mean?
Right. Again, without a standard to work from, the terms are going to get fluid and narratives come onto the scene and you start manipulating the language to fit given narratives, right? So, let's keep going. Examples of artificial intelligence that you may already be using. So this stuff is not just in the future. You're already using it in some format. First, I want to point you to, that's another question I asked Siri on the left. I asked her, are you intelligent? She came back with, well, when I was in school, I had to cheat on my metaphysics exam by looking into the soul of the boy next to me.
That's creepy.
So, anyway. So, examples of artificial intelligence, virtual personal assistants. So, if you have an iPhone and you're using Siri, that's an example. If you have an Android phone, you're using Google Now. If you have a Microsoft device, you're using Cortana. Those are all examples of just virtual assistants that are interactive with you. Artificial intelligence is built into some video games, being responsive as you play and in real time. Purchase prediction, so when you go to websites to buy stuff and it's doing recommendations, or how did it know that, or how did it? That's AI behind the scenes doing that for you. Fraud detection, so pattern recognition going on behind the scenes to try to understand who's fraudulent, who's on the up and up. AI used in detecting that. Online customer support. If you've ever interacted online at a company, you may or may not be talking to a person. It varies. Even news generation. So you've probably read news snippets on sites or whatever. Some of that is actually created by AI right now. It's not being written by a human. You wouldn't know it. Music and movie recommendations, driven by AI. Okay, just a couple more terms, and then we'll be done with the terminology. Machine learning. So this is another term that you may see in the news. So are machines really learning? And the definition is an aspect of artificial intelligence that allows computers to recognize new patterns without being programmed to do so. And this is considered kind of current state of the art. And what this means is the program can recognize patterns and actually gather information and use those patterns to do something else. So that's a kind of learning. It's getting smarter without a programmer writing new code to tell it about these new things. It's doing that on its own. That's machine learning. Does that make sense? Okay. Deep learning is a subset of machine learning, so we're getting more narrowly focused, to recognize relationships and abstractions in unstructured data. Now, let me unpack that a bit. This is thought of as more cutting edge. So, as you guys know, we've got all kinds of data that's being gathered with everything we do, all across all of our lives. All of that data, because it's not categorized, we're just dumping it out. Social media, emails, pictures, videos, all that stuff. That's unstructured. It's able to look at that data and recognize relationships and make abstractions through all of that unstructured data. And then folks can do something with that data. You can kind of get a sense of that's money and that's power. And then you can turn that into, you can productize that. Okay? Does that make sense?
No. It's weird, but yeah. Oh, yeah.
Think of it as hold on to the thought. When we get further, you'll see. And I think this may be the last one I'm going to give you. Neural network. And neural, you get an idea from the nervous system. So it's taking things from how we believe the brain works and nervous system works and bringing it into technology. So this is forms of information processing. It uses inputs from nodes to tackle problems from different angles rather than a set of instructions. And all this means, if you're familiar with how programming is working, when folks write code, it's like writing a recipe. You're writing lines of code that tells a machine or a computer what to do. If this, then do that. Until this happens, keep doing this thing. That's what you're doing. Neural network is going beyond that and using different nodes of input to look at these problems from all different ways. It's not just a recipe working down. There's much more going on than that. Okay. ChatBot, if you've heard of this, short for Chat Robot, is a program that simulates human conversation through voice commands or text chats. So again, if you're texting and a site is responding to you, that's a form of it. If you've seen the Amazon Echoes, where you just talk to it and it tells you something back, that's another form of a chatbot. And I'm going to give you, this is something I did at the, oh, go ahead.
I feel like online chat, when it, like you're working through a problem with your phone or whatever, and it'll be, oh, hold it, there's someone available to online chat with you, or is that a real person that you chat with?
So if it's a machine, that would be a form of a chatbot. If it's a real person, it's not.
So you're actually talking to a real person.
Right. So I'm going to give you a glimpse. We actually have a separate innovation thing that we do at work. I'm going to show you a couple screenshots here. So we're doing this where I work, too. And this is an example that, if you guys remember Rosie from the Jetsons?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got a bot called Rosie. The Kicks. And this is a person that's interacting with this bot on real-world data. And the person is asking, hey, Rosie, a big snowstorm is on the way. Is there a shipment of this particular SKU at Dixon, which is one of our distribution centers? She replies with saying, I see no inventory for 20-inch poly snow shovel with 38-inch steel handle. And then it says, on the way to Dixon. Went ahead and can ship then to do that. And then there's some other stuff, like is a person in a meeting and he's looking up into another system. Mm-hmm. So you get a sense of this assistant can tap into all different systems. And all I care about is I'm just using natural language to talk. I don't have to know how to program. I don't care about any of that stuff. Here's another one. And this is Nailed It Hardware. So this is an example like for one of our members that we can do. And question of how you can help. And there's a whole series of stuff on doing a recommendation of another type of battery because one version is out. And a whole interaction that leads up to a purchase then of that as well. And this is another one where somebody asks, hey, show me gross profit amount by number name from our sales queue. And it just generated a whole report and dumped it back. You could interact on all those member details, inventory details, and all that. So those are just some examples that I used at the time that were done. Okay, and I think these are probably my last of the terms. And earlier we had AGI, which is Artificial General Intelligence. All this means is machine intelligence that is as good as a human. Now remember, we talked about all those difficulties early with definitions and all. So, you know, good luck with that, knowing exactly what that means. Well, how do you know when it's as good as a human? I'll give you one test in a minute. And then artificial superintelligence, ASI, machine intelligence that is superior to a human. So some believe that this will be the case, that as part of the world, there will be intelligence that is beyond human. And so what do you do with that? Nate?
How is it beyond human? Just capable of higher, faster computation than we are?
And that'll be the question. So yes, higher and faster computation. Bigger data sets. So right now, we have what's within our experience right here to accommodate. So imagine if you have, say, the world's data to act on at speeds beyond what we can do. Now, what are you going to do with that? So that's...
It's not just Terminator.
Yeah, and so folks start talking about Skynet and, you know, all that stuff, and yep, that's what's... All right. Turing test. This is Alan Turing. Did anybody see the movie The Imitation Game?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is Turing, right? Test the machine ability to exhibit intelligent behavior indistinguishable from that of a human. So he developed a test to where if you can interact with a machine and be fooled, like in your interaction with that machine, you can't tell if you're talking to a human or not, then it would be said that that machine passed the Turing test. And now you can't distinguish that interaction from it or human. So that's one way to test if it's as smart as a human, if you've now approached general intelligence. Yes?
Isn't it a group of people who aren't really known for their social skills developing these technologies?
I'd say it's a whole spectrum of folks. So there are those folks that you're talking about.
Maybe wasn't he one of them?
Could he said that would be the case? Yes. So you're right. Some folks that are very intellectual in one place suffer in other places. Social interaction and all. Yes, that is fair.
It can also be the case that people like Turing, who don't themselves are socially inept, have a profound understanding of social interactions nonetheless. Even a better and a superior understanding than those who are not socially inept, because they're good observers. That's not always the case, but it can be.
Right. That's why I kind of hesitated in that, because you don't want to... Generalizations can be appropriate, but sometimes there's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
To Nate's point there. All right. That's as technical as I'm going to get. Okay? So what I want to connect from here, though, and you see those areas where we're talking about what is natural intelligence versus artificial intelligence. How do we know when we arrive at a point where that intelligence is as good as human intelligence? You guys have been asking good questions that center around humanity. And we ask the question and this comes forward, no matter who is a thought leader in this place, you have to come back to this question. What does it mean to be a human? And we're at a place right now where not everybody agrees with the answer to this fundamental question. What does it mean to be a human? So, I'm going to ask you guys, what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to have joy? So think about something that was very joyful for you personally recently. What does that mean? Is that just chemicals running through your body that gives you that sensation? What exactly is joy? Why are you smiling right now when you're thinking about something that brought you joy? That creates something's going on. Something's real. What does it mean to have real pain? Think about something that was very painful to you. And now I see expressions change. Is that just a change in chemical reactions? Is that all that's going on? So the example that I used when I was giving this talk, I lost my dad roughly 2 years ago now. That's still very painful to me. Even right now, just thinking about it, it's hard for me to even say that. Why is that? Why I still have his recording on my cell phone. I can hear his... Why does that make me cry when I hear it? That's just an audio file. But what is that? What's going on? What does it mean to love? Is that nice? So we've been married for 29 years. And what is it about that, this girl, that made me want to spend the rest of my life with her? What's going on there? What is this thing called family? Why do these people have a particular meaning to me? All of a sudden, girls just started showing up at my house. Why do these relationships have a special meaning? Why would I give up my life for all of these people? There's something going on.
And not other people.
And not other people. I may give up my life for other people too, but there's something going on here, right? all these part of what it means to be human. What does it mean to mature and live a life well lived? What does that look like? What are we striving for? What does that look like as we get older and to think that was a life well lived? To us, we would say, you know, to please God. What does that look like over time? So all of those situations, one of the key points I want to make is part of what it means to be human is to tell a story of life. We are telling stories, right? You're all part of somebody else's story. Other people are in your story. But we are storytellers just by living. We are telling a story here, which is part of what it means to be human. So, when we tell a story of our life, we are storytelling from natural intelligence. This is natural human intelligence, like you guys have been pointing out. And when we are living and telling these stories, we have to answer these questions. What's the origin of all things? What's the origin of humanity? What gives meaning? Is there meaning in the world? If so, what is it? What gives meaning? What's morality? What puts something in the category of right versus wrong? We have to answer what the standard is for that. And where's all this going? The story that we're living and telling. What is the destiny for all of this? Every single human being, whether they're thinking about it or not, is living by answering these questions. And they're living in a way that, depending upon how they've answered that, they're living in different ways because of that. So in answering those questions, you then have truth tests to pass. Are my answers to these four questions coherent? Are they contradictory in nature? Are they understandable? And do they correspond to reality? Can I actually live like this consistently? Or do I have to jump through hoops and play tricks and all that? Each story coming through that is a worldview. Okay? It's a lens that we look at the world through. And that lens can be correct, or can be false. That worldview can be right or wrong. I'm going to ask you, is that picture right there in that lens, is that a true picture of reality for this? Let's look at it.
No, it's distorted. It's upside down.
No, it's you said distorted. Nate said upside down. It's also backwards. It's backwards and upside down. If you look at the broader image back here, it's not an accurate representation of reality. Okay? Worldview from natural intelligence. So every finite human, and I make that point that every human is finite, we are not infinite, has faith, which is trust in their answers to those four questions. Faith comes from the Latin fide, means trust. Every human being has faith. Religion is devotion to an ultimate reality. Everybody has religion because everybody has devotion to an ultimate reality. And culture is just religion externalized. Comes out our fingertips, we say.
Nate, here we get to define personhood and personality here.
Right. So, in answering those questions, trusting in that, and then living according to that reality and how it comes out, right, you will be saying a certain something about personhood one way or another. Different worldviews will say different things about what personhood means.
Would you add community to that list as well?
I think that comes out as part of culture.
That's entailed in culture.
Yeah. What you believe about community.
Yeah.
And remember the tie back to, I think it's Noreen Hertzfeld, about human interrelationships. definitely comes out. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop here, and you'll see how this gets interesting next week as we map all of this. I'm not going to give you that yet. We'll be mapping this over into artificial intelligence. All this stuff has to flip over and image into machines. Okay? So you kind of see where this is going and why this is extremely important. It's something we have to understand. If anybody has just a couple quick questions or comments, yeah.
Yeah, I just got a new laptop for Christmas, Windows 10.
Yeah.
And Cortina started talking to me.
Yep.
I don't want to hear you. It freaked me out. I'm like, no. I know what I'm doing here. Just go bye-bye.
Right. That's that. If you got Windows 10, Cortina's
so about
there.
Every, like now, every 6 weeks, she'll start to... No, shut her down. Sorry.
And so you can do things like open Word, open Excel. When's my next appointment? What's the weather right now?
Yeah.
You can carry on a whole conversation with Cortana right now.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of Saturday Night Live last night. It was a rerun from Christmas season. And they had the Microsoft Expo. They were introducing their newest, greatest, and it was a robot. A very human-like robot, and he could compute many trillions of things all at once, and also he was gay.
And the robot is gay.
Yes, the robot made a point of introducing himself and what he could do, and also that he was attracted to men. And so the people they were asking questions like, why do you have to make the robot gay? And like, why do you have a problem with that? And so it's just interesting that, you know, it's artificial intelligence. Somebody made it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going to go, right?
Yeah.
All of that has to be seeded in some way.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, anybody else? John?
It seems our... I look at things from a story. You know, you talk about stories. Yep. I think of the stories on a big screen and how often it is either a salvific, you know, like something like New Heaven, New Earth, or more common... apocalypse and
right.
stories,
right.
even your popcorn movies like, you know, Avengers and things like that, it's some intelligence that has decided that, you know, the world is better off without all you humans around. So
we're going to touch on that too.
Yes. Very good.
That's a particular worldview. And now what do you do with that view when you seed that into that kind of intelligence, right? What kind of decisions are made? All right. Thank you. We'll be there.
Thank you.